You know, every now and then, we know who Jesus is, right? He's our Savior. We all know that. And so, every now and then, though, you need to talk about the other guy. You need to talk about Satan, hell, every now and then, right? Not a lot, but you don't want to give him too much credit. But where we're talking about creation, and by the way, ladies, y'all did a great job. Allison told me most of what went on. Brenda couldn't come. We had a board meeting, our big annual board meeting. But y'all did a good job. You had some very good points. And I know you're still dying. Not dying. You really want me to tell you what I believe about the second day, right? I'm not going to tell you today. All right, anyway. It's complicated. And I have different reasons for it. But I will say this. I will say this. Y'all's presumption that nothing was created that day is a very fair assessment. Because all he did was divide. That's a very fair. I would talk to one of my mentors in Ohio, and he believed a little different, but I told him what we'd come up with. He said, that's very fair. That's very acceptable. So you have a very plausible reason, and I can go with that. Because you don't know. See, stuff we talk about in the Bible study, we don't know these things. A lot of stuff we don't know. We just talk, but it's good to think about stuff, have discussion, right, Nancy? You talk about stuff and knit your hearts together. So anyway, we'll. I may tell you one day, but I'm gonna leave it still today. Okay, we good? We good? All right. Today I want to talk about who is Satan. Who is Satan? You heard of him? He's probably messed with you quite a bit. Some of his cohorts, but we're going to talk about him today and some things I hope you'll learn today. That's my goal, if you learn something. Is he a serpent? Is Satan a serpent? Is he a dragon? Is he an angel of light? Is he an angel? Is he a cherub? Is he a leviathan? He's all those. So that got your attention just a little bit, didn't it? Yeah, you know, and Satan's not his name. His name's Lucifer. Satan means adversary. But we know what we're talking about, right? So, okay. I just want to let you know that. We have to rightly divide the word. I'm telling you, you know, the more I study and the more I learn about rightly dividing per Paul's instructions, the Bible's becoming more real and more real, and it all fits together. It's all divided out, and I understand it. I don't go, I don't understand. I can't figure that out. And we're just on the beginnings of that. And I don't know how anybody who's heard rightly dividing could ever see it any other way. I don't know, but I maybe. The enemy tries to deceive many people. But is Satan ever described as an angel in the Bible? Be careful. No. All right. Now, he's an adversary to God, is he not? Is he an adversary to you? Absolutely. Did you know what I read? Don't know if it's true or not. This was a Google thing. But I read that 40% of the Christians, they don't believe the devil. They believe the devil's just like a force. He's just just some kind of evil force out there. 40% of so-called Christians. You know, people, that might not be real Christians. That's people who say they're Christian, right? You know, there's a big difference in those two. Anyway, you know he's a living being, right? Satan, I'm gonna say Satan so we know what we're talking about. He's a living being. He has a mind, he has a will, and he definitely has emotions. And now this is interesting. I'm being corrected on this, so here's another issue. He was a cherub. I'll show it to you in the Bible, it's Isaiah 14. He was a cherub. A cherub is a kind of angel. One of the higher-ranking angels. We're going to describe cherubs, but it's plain as day he was a cherub. And some people say that's the highest form of an angel, even above an archangel. And this got me all messed up or corrected me. Did you know there's only one archangel mentioned in the Bible? this defiant archangel? That's Michael. Not you. Michael. My little angel. My friend said, oh, my little angel. He might be an angel to her, but anyway. So. But so, but you got to understand that. Some people say the seraph. Remember we, remember we sang the song. Cherub and seraphim. Some say the seraphim is the highest rank, and then the cherubs and the angels. I don't know. But a cherub is a very, it's higher rank. It's a very high rank of an angel. All right? It has to be, you know, think about it, for his position. Was he a created being? Yeah, he's created. Who made him? God made him, absolutely. Is he equal with God? You know, like, absolutely not. God made him. Well, God created him. Don't go there today. Made and creation is two different things. I'll say that for next time. Anyway, God created Satan. And when he made him, was he good? Absolutely was good. Absolutely, when he made him, he created him. Where does he live? Where does Satan live? He's not, he's not in hell? He's not ruling from hell on his throne? Absolutely right. No. He's here in the atmosphere above us. He's here. You always say the second heaven and on earth. He's here. And has he ever been to God's heaven? How do you know that? You're saying, yeah, tell me how you know it. Who said that? You did? You want some candy? All right. You want a kiss? All right. Yes, it's in Job. It's in the Bible. I mean, pretty simple. Anyway, it's sort of interesting. Think about it. Can he do pretty much whatever he wants to do, Satan? He can't do anything unless God allows him to do something. See, that's what messes us up, because we blame all these things on the devil. You might be praying for healing, and God's desire might be for you to be sick. Oh man, that's messed up your theology. What if God's trying to draw you to him? What if he, in your sickness, and you turn to him and you establish a relationship like you've never had before? Your sickness ain't going to last. You're going to die one day, and your relationship's going to be the best thing you ever had. I'd rather have cancer today than die and go to hell. I'd rather be sick with any kind of disease and not go to hell. Whatever he needs to do, he needs to do. God's got your best interest at heart. messed up your theology this morning. He can't do anything he wants to do. Is he omnipresent? You know what that means? Is he everywhere? No, he's not everywhere. Ain't but one of him. How many is he? He's just one. He's not omnipresent. I think he lives in D.C. right now, but I mean, he's just. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know. Might live at CNN. I don't know where he lives. But anyway, there's only one of him. He's not everywhere. But so how does all this stuff happen? How many angels came with him when he was cast to the earth? A third. And they're millions. Billions of angels. He's got plenty of troops with him to carry out his business. They got ranks. They got principalities and powers. They got ranks within them. Then they come back, report what they're doing. He sends them out. I don't know where he is, but they just want him. He ain't everywhere. But he has his evil, his people, his angels out working for him all over the place. Amen? Amen. Can he counterfeit God's signs and wonders? Give me an example. Okay. I want a better one. I'm okay with that. Hey, Moses, throw down your staff. What happened to his staff? It became a snake, serpent. the serpent. What did all the wise men do when they threw their staffs down? You ought to read your Bible. When all the wise men, all the people, all the astrologers and all the people that works in the king's court, when they threw their staff down, what happened to them? They became serpents too. Hang on, Larry. Don't spoil all my... I am going to come back and kiss you now. And then what did God do? Larry just said. Funny thing about it was Moses' snake went and ate the rest of them. So God, the devil can definitely counterfeit signs and wonders. I'll bet you he's even healed people before. Especially people he's going to use for bad things. Yeah, he's going to, and if you read your Bible, he got a whole lot of signs and wonders towards the end. He's going to counterfeit. But that's just how he operates. Have you ever seen, it cracks me up. I saw it again the other day. Y'all remember this guy called Todd White? He's a guy with he's a white guy with dreadlocks. I think he's Caucasian. You know what I'm talking about. You've ever seen him? And we played a video. I used to love the guy. I said, man, he's awesome. I watched the stuff he did. Until I saw him lengthening legs. And I watched him lengthen the legs. And I saw that, and I mean, they get up. That was his healing thing, you know, was lengthening legs. And so finally, some guy, or could have been a girl, I don't know, somebody had a camera, and they filmed it. And they filmed the whole thing, and then he went like in fast pace to see what he was doing, how he was doing it. And he was just manipulating the heel. He was just pulling. And in other words, if your legs this way, if you went. This way, one got locked. I mean, he knew how to, you could see how he moved the legs this way and pulled the heel out. See, that's a liar. That ain't just a counterfeit sign. That's a lie. And see, I can get up here today and I could tell y'all something. I could make a mistake. I was a couple weeks ago. I had to change my whole sermon because I agreed with somebody when I said, who wrote Acts? Somebody said, Paul. That was stupid. We know Paul didn't write Acts. All right, okay. And so everybody makes mistakes, correct? And so, but that's different. When you're doing a carnival trick to try to get people to believe that God's with them and you're lengthening their legs and stuff, you crossed the line. You went way across the line. That's ultimate deception. You follow me? And so you can have a minister, somebody could misspeak. If I'm believing the truth, I ain't lying to you. If I believe it, you know, you don't have to agree with it, of course. We're not going to agree on everything. I don't know. That's stuff like that, just that's definitely a bad way to go. He is a liar, and he's a deceiver. He'll tell you, have you ever heard, there ain't no God? You'll be in a situation, go, no, there ain't no God. God don't care about you. You can't trust that Bible. You can't understand it. Get you one you can read. You ain't done anything for the Lord. All these things he'll tell you. He'll alter God's word. He'll add, subtract, and change it away, take stuff out of it. He'll blind people's hearts and blind their minds to the gospel of grace. All these different things. You know, I never thought about this till this week. Every one of these words is Jesus' words. He is the word. Every word in here is Jesus' words. You got that? All right. He spoke some. Those of you who read my Bible. But he's the word. Anyway. He hides right division from the believers. And I'm convinced. Well, you could add to this anyway, but I'm pretty convinced that his major area of focus is in religion. There's only one true religion, it's the Christian religion. Believe what you want to. Well, there are a bunch of religions, but there's only one. Yeah, there's one true religion. That's ours. And then and y'all know this too. Y'all see, he's definitely involved in politics. If you don't see that, you ain't, there's something wrong with you. Anyway. That's where he focuses. Now, let's look at this. Turn with me to Ezekiel 28, 12. Let's look at some scriptural background here. Ezekiel 28, 12. This is a description of Satan. Lucifer. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You see him described that way several times. Satan was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Are there any female angels? Are there any female angels? None in the Bible I know of. All right. But he's perfect in beauty. And thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. He's got some jewels on. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You know people that can sing good. How'd they get that talent? God gave it to them. They didn't develop it on their own. God gave them the ability. Amen? He gave it to them. All right. Thou art the anointed cherub. There it is. He was a cherub. What's a cherub? I'm going to show you. He was thou anointed cherub that covereth, and have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. That's the description of Satan. He was perfect when he was created. Full of wisdom. Full of beauty. Until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou have been filled, with the midst of thee of violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He was full of wisdom. He had plenty, all the beauty. Now let me ask you this. I'll probably get in trouble over this. But what is it that almost every woman desires? Okay, no, that's too deep for right now. Beauty. How much time y'all spend? I mean, you're right. We respect. You have paid attention, haven't you? Yeah. Love your, I'm talking woman. I didn't say wife. Okay, that's good. Backed out of that one, didn't I? All right. Every woman, almost every female, they want to be beautiful. Am I right? And they'll do anything to be beautiful. They'll drive to the mall to go to the makeup bar. Is that what you call it? Where you try the stuff on, they paint the, all that. I mean, I'm not making fun at all. I'm not making fun. I mean, that's what went, and what do men really want? Do we really care how we look? I mean, sort of. I didn't even shave, you know. But we want wisdom. We respect wisdom in men. Wisdom. And so he's got the most ultimate male trait is to be wise, and he's got the ultimate female trait to be beautiful. He got it going on. Had a little too much going on, didn't he? Now, what I want you to see is he had all the wisdom you could have. He had all the beauty you could have, but he wasn't satisfied. You'd think a man that had all the wisdom and was the most handsome person on the earth, you'd think he'd be pretty happy. I mean, he's the anointed cherub. Some people said he was in praise and worship. I don't know all about that, but apparently he could sing good too. I mean, he's got everything happening for him. What is it he wanted? When I tell you, you're going to know. Correct. Candy for you? I can't kiss you. You're a woman. Anyway, my wife's not here. Yeah. He wanted to be worshipped. Remember when he went to Jesus? I'll give you everything out here you can see if you just fall down and worship me. All he wanted was to be worshipped. He had everything else. Did he get it? Mm-mm. See, we think all these things would satisfy us, but they're not going to satisfy you. What do you think corrupted him? What corrupted him? What sin was it? What was his sin? Pride. And see, the thing about pride is you never know you got it. If I come through here, if I could trace my sin, all y'all's sin, if we could trick it on back in there, you're going to have some money and love money in there somewhere, but then pride's going to be in there as well. A lot of your sin is simply because I'm not going to do that. He ain't telling me what to do. I ain't got to do that. Who do you think he is? Anyway, turn me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, back to the left. If you have your Bible. Isaiah 14, 12. Who was the last prophet mentioned in the Bible? I'll teach you something else today, free of charge. Who was the last prophet? Old Testament prophet. Malachi. Last book. Who was the first one? Samuel. All right, tipping you off. Isaiah was a pretty big prophet. Isaiah 14, 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." What was his issue? Pride. There's his name, Lucifer. That's his real name, Lucifer. I'm gonna be better than God. I'm above everything to be worshipped. And it didn't work out for him too good. He didn't want to be the most powerful. He already the most beautiful. Already had the most wisdom of all. He wanted to be like God, even above God. Now, check this out. Luke 10:17. Well, let's skip. Let's do this right here. Let's do this right here. All right, go to 10:1. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two to face every city and place whether himself would come. So he's got 70 people here. All right. Then come down to 17. He sent them out, told them what to do. Come down to 17. And it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, God, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, Behold, I give unto you, that's the 70, the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, some people think that applies to them. Can anything hurt you? Oh, yeah. I can get my feelings hurt. Anyway, so, yeah. But I want you to see right here, you have to rightly divide. He's talking to the 70 he sent out. And I guarantee nothing hurt them. When he told them nothing hurt you, I guarantee nothing hurt them. You ever thought about when it says in the Bible one time, he says, you buy two swords. I'm adding this to it. He tells the disciples, y'all take some swords with you. And then a little while later, he said, don't take any swords with you. What's that all about? You know the story I'm talking about? You heard about it? When he told them to take two swords with them, that was because they were going out to witness. They're going out in the world, and they had to have something to protect themselves. Because there's robbers out there and bad stuff walking around out there barefoot, on the desert or whatever. But then when a little while later, he said, don't take any sword with you. That's because they were looking at taking a sword to be offensive. Jesus, when he told them to take swords, it was just to be defensive, to protect yourselves, but not to go fight with a sword, just protect yourself. You see it? I know I'm right. Anyway, think about it. It's okay to protect yourself, but not to be offensive with it. Maybe I should teach on that. Anyway, so go to 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Are there people here today in this world to do that? People on television preachers and stuff? They transform themselves into apostles of Christ. And number 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These people that are lying to you and not telling you the truth and are deceiving you, they're going to get what they deserve. You ain't got to worry about all that. It's all be taken care of. And then the part I really like, right? You go to Revelation 20:10. I really like this one right here. Because this is going to happen. Revelation 20:10, it's in the Bible, it's going to happen, it's true. 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where their beast and a false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The people in hell are going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You don't want to go there. And if you ever wondered how, I thought, wonder what it's like there. Why they talk about being dark? Did you know that down there, if there's no oxygen, where it can be so hot, there's no light, no flame? I didn't know that. You know, when lava comes out, how it lights up? Because it's oxygen then. But down there where sulfur's burning, brimstone, what I was burning up down there, the way I understand it, there is no light. That's why it's perfectly dark. Can you imagine? Y'all ever get scared by yourself, like in just a dark room or something? You've been working at somebody's house, the lights go out, you're down, you go, oh, I'm freaking out, I got to call Brenda, right? Right? You know, I mean, when you get in a dark place, you don't know where you are, it's so terrifying, ain't it? A little bit? That's why we don't go back to that. What's that thing in Liberty University? Scaremare. That's demonic. Scaremare is demonic. Don't you ever send your children there. We'll never do that again. It ain't. Chase you with a chainsaw around there and then scaring, trying to, don't go there. Won't do that again. Oh, it's all just fun. No, it ain't really all that fun either. I was terrified going through something where the things get tight on you. I've been, that's why I know. You remember being where you walk through places and you can't hardly get through? Well, that's terrifying. There's no Christ in that. Guy wearing, what's that killer mask you wear? Huh? Jason's mask, and then walk around, the chainsaw's going to cut you. No, man, that ain't. It's bad. Anyway, get off your stool there. Anyway, now, let's go to the beginning real quick. Genesis 2:15, because we're talking about in the men's and women's Bible study. Let's just sort of merge this together a little bit. Genesis 2:15-17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in it that day thou shalt eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. You can't eat of that tree, anything else you can. And see, that was, to me, we talked about it in the men's group, women did too, I think that's the first reference of evil in the Bible. because that was a tree that was made on the third day of creation. He made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just a thought. I'm not saying I'm right. Anyway, was that one commandment pretty self-explanatory? All right, you take care of this, keep it all up. He didn't have any weeds there, remember? But no weeds yet. He didn't have to have a tiller up. I mean, he just take care of it. Hadn't even rained yet either. The water came out from the ground and just misted everything. Ain't that pretty cool? Just a mist covered and kept things clean, water. He said, but whatever you do, you can have anything you want to eat, but don't eat of that tree right there. That couldn't have been any more simple. Very plain. All right, let's go to Genesis 3, 1. Here's where you're going to have to think a little bit, or you have an opportunity to think. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? All right. What's a serpent? What does your dictionary say it is? 1828 dictionary. It says, amphibian, no feet. It says also subtle, a malicious person, sly. And subtle means sly and cunning. He's sly and cunning. Now, a beast, Michael saved me in the last men's group. I didn't know what it was. But a beast is a large four-footed animal that's used for labor or food. Beef, cow, mule, whatever. Anyway, what do y'all think the serpent is? Let me explain something to you. You don't know. I don't know. We're just talking. I'm trying to dispel. I mean, some of y'all think the fruit's an apple, right? Right? We didn't say it. I mean, it's an apple. But that's what all the pictures say. What do you think? Do you think she was talking to a snake in a tree? Is that what you think? Or do you think that was Satan and the serpent was just a way just to describe him being subtle and cunning? Just a thought. I have no record of, I mean, Mr. Ed wasn't back then, was he? But I do know the animals talked in the Bible. Remember the donkey? I'm pondering on that. Was it amphibian? I mean, it could be like a lizard with no feet? I mean, a snake ain't really an amphibian, is it? I mean, anyway, I don't know what that was. But you can say it's a snake. I can't say it's not. I ain't about to say that. But I've been thinking about that a little bit. Was that him and the serpent just referring? Because in the Bible, he's talked about him being a serpent in other places. A serpent, a dragon, Leviathan. He called lots of things in the Bible. I want you to think when you read your Bible. You got me on that one? Just ponder it. I mean, I don't know. You don't either. Don't say you know, because you don't know, and I don't know. But I'm not just going to say, well, I know it's this. Well, no, I don't know it's that. All right. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. All right? That's a lie. Lest you touch it. He never said anything about touching a tree, did he? God, do you see right in the Bible? He said, touch it. So she sort of added a little something to the story. Now, Adam may have told her that. You know how sometimes you can, you know, make sure she understands. You can't eat it. And don't even touch it either. You know, he may have told her that. But God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just said you can't eat it. Right? Right? Right. Then, and the serpent said, ye shall not surely die, for God doth knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The only Bible that says as gods that I'm aware of is the King James Bible. Every other Bible say you'll be as God, big G. That's a big difference. There's a big difference between God's little g and God, big G. I'm trying my best. I know some of you probably don't like it, or you maybe get upset, but I'm trying to show you there's a big difference in which Bible you read, man. It's a big, big difference. You got to decide for yourself. So she's saying, well, you're going to be like God, like angels. So like you're going to know all the difference between good and evil. Because remember, Satan wanted to be like God. Right? Now, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant for the eye, desired to make one wise, she took of the tree, of the fruit thereof, and did eat. See, there's nothing about apple, pear, orange. What do y'all think it was? Huh? A fig? Banana? Orange? But it doesn't say. Make sure you see these things. We don't know what it was. It could have been an apple. Right? Could have been. I don't know. And she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also to her husband with her. What? And did eat. He's standing right there, the jerk. He's standing right there and letting somebody, something, deceive his wife. And he goes along with it. There are men, their husbands today do the same thing. They'll stand right there and let their wife be deceived. Let her go down the wrong path because they ain't got enough gonads to stand up and say, no, we're not doing that. Or, yes, we are doing that. Husbands have responsibilities. Are you a man? What are you? We're men of God. We have responsibility. He stood right there, and then she gave to him. He ate it too. He played right there with the whole thing. Didn't he? My Bible says he was with her. So if he was with her, he heard. All he had to do is say, hey, can I say a... He should have said, shut the hell up. Right? Shut up. That's right. Don't lie to her. That's what he should have done. I think I would have. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? I think I would have. Unless maybe I wanted to bite myself. You know what I mean? Maybe, well, yeah, if she sort of does, I'll go along with her. And, it does look pretty good, too. And nothing happened to her, and I'll take a bite. But he should have, God told him, you're going to die. You're going to die if you eat that tree. I could remember that. I don't think I've forgotten that. So he had a part to play. And the Bible also says where she was deceived. It says the woman was deceived, but Adam was not. Anyway. Now. Ate it. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Are any of y'all, don't answer this question out loud. It's just interesting. Up to that point, they weren't even worried about being naked, right? They walk around naked, go over here naked, whether to swim, whatever they did, no problem. Once they sinned, once they ate of that fruit, all of a sudden they looked at each other, oh my gosh, I want to cover up. Right? Well, now, I'm just going to ask this. This is grown-ups in here, for the most part. I mean, do we sort of still feel that way today? I mean, how many people you know just love walking around naked? I don't even like in my home by myself. I feel like, what somebody sees in the window, I don't, you understand? That's in us. That's in us. It came from right there. You see it? This should be nothing. You and your wife should be nothing wrong if you've been there. It's a big deal, right? But we're all, it goes right back to there, I believe, right there. We tried to hide it. We try to hide. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam said, and Adam and his wife hid. Ain't that what y'all do when you do wrong? Don't you hide, right? Nobody will see me. I can't go to church anymore. They know what I did. Y'all, people put stuff on Facebook. No wonder you're hiding. It's, what's wrong, people? You can lose your job over Facebook stuff. I mean, y'all, you're not stupid, are you? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Don't be goofy. We want to show the world some of these things. Y'all know that they check you out before you apply for jobs, don't you? You may find a whole lot of stuff. I probably should do it more. Anyway, I don't have Facebook. It's a good thing, I guess. But I can go post that stuff on it. Anyway, and the Lord called Adam and said unto him, verse 9, where art thou? Well, he knew where he was. You think God didn't know where he was? And thou, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He's afraid because he was naked? No. He's afraid because he sinned. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? See, where'd that concept come from? They didn't have clothes to begin. See, we have clothes. They didn't have clothes back then. So something had to happen. Wait a minute. I got to cover up myself. I got to cover up my body. Where'd that come from? From Satan. Now, I'm not saying, y'all come to church with your clothes on, okay? You ain't going to come in if you come any other way, right? You don't be showing stuff, you know. Anyway. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? How hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman, whom thou gavest to me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. Pass the buck, man. Ain't my fault. The devil, he wants to, and you see, he's back up here sort of giggling. He just deceived them and tricked them into making the wrong decision. You know the old story, what was that, Flip Wilson? Some of you older people like, the devil made me do it, remember that? Well, you all know the devil can't make you, if the devil can make you do something, then you have no responsibility for what you did. Track with me? If the devil made you do it, God, he made me do it. I did not do it. I did not want to do it. He made me do it. You're clear, aren't you? Aren't you? Now, no, if you see me, if he made you, but he didn't make you. He has to trick you. He's got to deceive you, make you think it's all right. Nobody's going to know about that. Oh, it's no big deal. Go ahead and do that. Nobody will see it. Nobody cares about that stuff. And he said to the woman, verse 13, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Ain't her fault. Serpent's fault. Devil did it. He beguiled. He tricked me. And the Lord God said to the serpent, you're going to be cursed above all cattle and crawl on your belly, eat dust the rest of your life. Now, I'm going to skip to 20 and 21. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Adam named his wife Eve. And then unto Adam also, to his wife, the Lord God made them coats of skins and clothed them. So there was the first sacrifice. Blood sacrifice, blood paid for postponement of the sin. You follow me? All right. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, sent him out to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So they were forgiven at that point, and now you got to leave the garden. Now, what I want to talk to you now about, because it's talked about cherubs. In Isaiah 14, it says Satan was the anointed cherub. Do y'all know what a cherub looks like? Do any angels have wings? Anybody else want to take a chance of embarrassing yourself? I don't care. Let's just read the God's word. Amen. Let's just read his word. Go to Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel 10. And let's just see what a cherub looks like. Let's just get an idea here what a cherub looks like. Ezekiel 10, 10. And I'm going to just do a couple of verses so you can sort of see it. Now, Ezekiel 1. We're going to Ezekiel 1, and we're going to do, 5 through 14. At Ezekiel 1, 5 through 14. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. Every one had four wings. Likeness of a man. Four faces and four wings. And their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. And the four had their faces and their wings. What animal do you think of that looks like it's got hands under their wings? Huh? A bat. They do, don't they? Their wings were joined together. They turned not when they went, and they went everyone straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and also the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one would join one to another, and two covered their bodies, and they went forward. They went straight forward everywhere they went. Wherever they went, they turned. They didn't turn around. They just went that direction, four different directions. And as for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the appearance of lamps went up and down the living creatures, and their fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Pretty impressive. All right, go to Ezekiel 10. Now, Ezekiel 10. Then out 10:1. And then I looked, and behold, at the firmament was above the head of the cherubims. There appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, and the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Verse 5. And the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he spoke. They heard their wings flapping. I mean, that's got to be a lot of noise. Verse 8. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. Verse 14, verse 12. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and their wheels, they were full of eyes round about, even the wheels they had four, the four had. Verse 14. Everyone had four faces. The first was the face of a cherub. The second, the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. I'm telling you, cherubims had wings, four wings, hands on their wings. They flew with some, they covered the body with some. They had feet like a calf's feet. They had, looked like to me, they had four different faces. When I read my Bible, and they went, they went whichever direction that face was pointed. You know what I mean? They didn't turn around and go sideways. They just went zip, zip, back this way, back that way. Satan was an anointed cherub. The way I read this, you know how sometimes he shows him some of the pictures show him with like calf's feet, the picture of the devil? Well, maybe he had them. Maybe he had some wings. But he was not an angel like Michael. The cherubim, when they made the Ark of the Covenant, Moses designed it to where they had two cherubim with their wings. They were like, I forgot, maybe 7 feet from tip to tip. And they covered on each side of the Ark of the Covenant. He made cherubim out of gold, and their wings covered the Ark of the Covenant. I think it was 7 feet in diameter. So, see, they were protectors. I mean, some of the most powerful angels there. They were angels, but not like we think of Michael or Gabriel. And so, I've taught before angels didn't have wings. Yes, they, some did. Some do. Amen? You got that. All right. The last thing I'll do this. All right. Do you know in the Bible where it talks about the Leviathan in Job? Do I want to do that or not? I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that today. Anyway, the devil's called, what else is he called now? He's called a serpent. He's called angel of light. He's called a dragon. He's called a Leviathan. What else is he called? Cherub. All these different things describe or names of who he is. But his name is Lucifer. That's his name. Make sure we got that. And he was extremely powerful, one of the most powerful angels there. Do y'all think he can alter his appearance? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because it says you can be doing something, entertaining an angel and not even realize it. So I think he can. He deceives you by temptation. That's how he deceives you. He tempts you because he can't make you do anything. But he tempts you. He tempts you in so many different ways. And then he could get you to go and sin against God. And that's what you have to be careful of. He'll tempt you by making all these different versions of the Bible that say something different. And changing words, taking out words, put them in here. That's probably one of his best ways to do it. You get reading a word that's not really the word of God. And you think you are. I want you to understand, we have victory over Satan. He does not control us. The Bible says when you're tempted, God always makes a way of escape. And the problem is sometimes you don't think about it. But no matter how you're tempted, no matter people, you've heard the old story, people say, man, God never put more on me than I can handle. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Everybody takes that verse and twists it around. It's not there. But you'll hear that. I bet you hear that two or three times a year talking to people you know. Well, I know it's really bad, but, man, God promised he'll never put more on you than you can handle. Next time somebody tells you that, ask them real nice. Just say, will you show it to me in the Bible? Show me that in the Bible so I know how to stand on that. But that's not the verse. He's talking about when you're tempted, there's no temptation that you can't overcome because God, Jesus, has made the way of escape. And so we have no excuse. When we're tempted and we sin, we really have no excuse because God has made, and there is a way that you can escape it and not sin. Otherwise, if you don't believe that, you don't believe your Bible. And like we talked about in the men's women's group, if you don't believe creation, you don't believe your Bible. If you think evolution is true, you don't believe your Bible. You don't believe it because it's right there in the beginning. It's real simple. Don't let people, they teach some of the people in school now that you can, some of the seminaries where you can go through and do that, and they're trying to do this theocratic deal, you know. But anyway, it's not true. Creation is absolutely true. 100% case closed. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you there are no mistakes, no errors. And Lord, we know we have an adversary. We know he's out there trying to get us off track and try to hurt us and get us to commit sin. We know those things. We're aware of it. And Lord, I thank you that we are smart enough as Christians to be able to go and be with one another and have fellowship with one another, that we can hold each other up. You talk about iron sharpening iron. Father, I thank you that the men can sharpen each other, the ladies can sharpen each other, because that's what we do. We are a family. We're not out on some island by ourselves. You know, we're here as a part of the family. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody praise it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.